Well, here we are, finishing up our study on Isaiah chapter 9. So if you turn there, I know you know the verse that we're going to do, because I've said it a few times. What an awesome study that we've had an opportunity to spend this time going over the names of Jesus. There are so many things that Jesus is known as. And we've spent the last 3 weeks finding out more about this baby that Isaiah was talking about in this verse. In Isaiah 9, verse 6, "For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." So we've been talking for the last few weeks about how perfect these names describe our Savior. 700 years before Jesus was even born in this world, God gave Isaiah insight into the character and the attributes of Jesus. He's our Prince of Peace. He brings peace to us and invites us to allow peace to rule in our lives. He's the Wonderful Counselor that's always available, and that his counsel has a miraculous outcome when we choose to take it. And not just any counsel, wonderful counsel. And he is our everlasting Father. Last week we talked about that. He gives us life. He loves us unconditionally. He provides for us. He brings correction when it's needed in our lives. And praise God, he forgives us. There is nothing that we have done in our lives that his sacrifice was not enough to cover. Did you hear that? There is nothing that we have done in our lives that his sacrifice wasn't enough to cover. Today, I'm really excited, and if you looked at my notes, half of the punctuation in my notes, and maybe actually more than half, probably three quarters of the punctuation in my notes, are exclamation points. Because, and every time I've thought about this message, I get excited, because today we get to talk about our mighty God, and that is just awesome. I'm so excited about it. So what comes to your mind when you hear that something is mighty? I heard, what?
Great.
Great, okay. Okay, anything else? What?
Strong,
okay. I heard a story of a person who was talking to a bodybuilder, and he asked him why he had big muscles. And the bodybuilder responded that he had those muscles to be strong. And the man asked him, but why? And the bodybuilder said, to be strong. And again, the man asked, but why? And the bodybuilder said, to be strong. See, this bodybuilder was strong for the sake of being strong. There was no hidden purpose behind it. He worked out, and he had big muscles because he wanted to have big muscles. He wanted to be strong. Well, when we think of God, we may even actually think of the word mighty. The English definition of mighty is this: possessing great and impressive power or strength. Sounds like God. And it is. Possessing a great and impressive power or strength. When I read the Bible to hear and hear of all the miracles and feats that God has done, it is great and impressive power that I think of. But God does not have muscles just to have muscles. And I marvel at it when I stop and I think about how amazing God is. So when we think that Jesus is described as the mighty God, you could be thinking, well, yeah, no duh, of course he is. The word mighty here, I looked it up in the Hebrew, and it is the word gibor. Now, gibor is not just translated as strong. It is strong. But in the Hebrew, the word for strong is hazak. So that would be like someone noticing somebody's big muscles, or a little kid saying, my daddy is so strong. Okay, that would be hazak. But the word used here is gibor, and it's talking about a particular kind of strength that we're going to talk about today. Now, usually gibor would be describing something having to do with something in a military type setting. not just big muscles for the sake of muscles, but a warrior, someone that is proven in battle. It's a proven warrior. That is Gibor, okay? In 1 Samuel chapter 16, verses 18, King Saul is being tormented by an evil spirit. And Saul's servants are looking for someone to play the lyre, which is a stringed instrument, for the king. When the evil spirit comes to torment him, and their hopes is that that if somebody comes and plays, it will soothe him. And so they're looking for someone to do this. And his servant says this to him. Then one of the young men responded and said, "Behold, I have seen a son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, who is a skillful musician, a valiant, mighty man, a warrior, skillful in speech and a handsome man, and the Lord is with him." Now that word is used again in this verse. It's a valiant, mighty man. It's Gibor. Okay? It's describing a particular kind of strength. When they're talking about David in this passage, he was proven, he was known to be a warrior. He was a valiant, mighty man. Now, God is not strong, as I said, just for the sake of being strong. He uses that strength. He has a purpose for it. It is active, and it is a power that he is known for, okay? It's a strength that he is known for. It's proven. Gibor is a proven warrior strength. Have I said that enough times? I'm really excited about this. It's a proven. That's a key thing. It's proven. Okay? It's been proved time and time again. He's known for it. Isaiah is saying 700 years before this baby is even born that he will be a proven warrior. He's not talking about a fragile, vulnerable child here. God showed Isaiah that this baby would come to be known as a victorious, conquering God. Not muscles for the sake of muscles, but strong and victorious in battle. And how would Jesus manifest this victory? Well, I never get tired of talking about that. It's one of my favorite things to talk about. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Verse 9 and 10, he has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything that we've done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time, but it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Can you even fathom that? So many things that this verse talks about in terms of his victory. He saves us. He called us to a holy life. He made a way when he saved us for us to live that holy life. It's not because we did anything. He wanted to do this. His grace and his purpose did that. He fulfilled what he planned to do since before the beginning of time. That's how Isaiah knew it was going to happen. Have you ever planned a gift? Like many of you may have been thinking about Christmas coming up here in a couple weeks, and you're planning for a particular gift, and you've been thinking about it, you thought about this person that you want to give it to, and you're really excited about it. You have to save up for it. And maybe it's going to cost you a lot of money, but it's going to be so worth it to be able to see the look on their face when they open it. So you order it, and it arrives, and you're just waiting to give it to them. Well, I just picture God making this plan for us, okay? He made this plan for us. We are going to get to be with him, and he's so excited about it. He's just waiting to be able to give the big reveal, but he just can't keep it to himself, right? Like, he wants that. Like, you ever have a gift, and you're like, you're telling everybody, oh, I got this for Santa, or, you know, because you're so excited about it. Well, I picture God doing this, and he couldn't keep it to himself, and he just had to tell someone. And here's Isaiah listening to God, and so he just has to tell him, and he says, Isaiah, you will never guess how I'm going to do this. And he lays it out for him 700 years before he can give that gift. Now, this birth of God, I mean, this birth was God giving that present. He was acting on this plan. He was moving forward with his purposes, setting it in motion. That's why the shepherds came. That's why the angels sang. That's why the wise men brought gifts, because God had been waiting for this moment. Darkness had been hovering for too long. God's people had been sinking down deeper and deeper for too long. So here it is. He says, I'm going to send my son, my victorious warrior son. And he's not only going to change his family and friends' lives, but he's going to conquer death and the grave itself so that my people, the people that choose to accept this gift, we'll get to see this victory show up in their lives as well. That's something to be excited about. It's something to be excited about. And how does it show up in our lives? How does this mighty God, this Al-Gibor, show up in our lives? Al-Gibor. How does he show up in your life? Well, I'm glad you asked. Number one, his mightiness overcame our separation. Without Jesus, before Jesus came, the priests would have to offer sacrifices for our sin. And it was a full-time job, because they had to take care of the sins, all the sins of all the people. I would not want that job. I'm just saying. They spent all their time making sacrifices because sinful people, guess what? We can't be in the presence of God. We would die in the presence of God because he is perfect and we cannot be in the presence. He cannot allow sin to come into his presence. And so these priests would come and they would sacrifice these animals. And God stepped in. Romans 5. There it is. Verse 6 through 10. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person. Though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his love for us in this. While we were still sinning, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more since we shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if, while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? With Jesus' sacrifice, the separation between God and man was bridged. We can now have a personal relationship with Christ because of his sacrifice for sin. And there's part of the story of Jesus' death that I think sometimes gets overlooked. When he died, when the priests would come and give their sacrifices, there was a curtain. There was a curtain that they had to go through to get to the holy place, the most holy place, where God's presence was. And only the priests were allowed in that place. And at very limited times. The very presence of God dwelled in there. And the priests actually wore bells on their outfits so that you could hear them moving around in there. And the reason why was because if those priests were not purified, they would fall dead. Like if they had not taken care of their business before they went in there, like they were dead. And so you would stop hearing the bells. And then they'd pull them out. They had a rope tied around their ankle, and they would pull them out because they weren't going to go in there. I don't think I would want to go in there to try and, you know, pull them out. But this curtain, this veil, was between these places, and only the priests were allowed in there. And when Jesus died and the sacrifice was complete, that veil was torn from top to bottom. Okay? It was torn from top to bottom. Nobody tore it. God tore it. And it was to signify, now all people can have me. I can be available to everyone because of the sacrifice. God tore it from top to bottom. Now we have free access to his Spirit, and we walk in that freedom today. We walk in that freedom today. If we need to talk to God, if we want to know what he has to say, we don't have to go to a priest because Jesus is our high priest. He made the sacrifice for us. Praise you, Lord God. Jesus gave us the access through his mighty victory over death, hell, and the grave. He has victory over those things. He purchased our eternity with his blood and marched right into hell to take back any claim that the enemy had over you. Any claim. Jesus marched right in there and like, nope, that's mine. And that, my friend, is your Savior, Jesus, the mighty God. And he proved it right there. The second way that his mightiness shows up in your life is it overcame your old self. Now, when we're living this life, even after we come to Christ, our sinful nature wants to be in the driver's seat. Have you ever felt that way? Like, my old self wants to be in the driver's seat. You might not put it that way, but if you think about it, yeah, it wants to drive me around. Well, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 17 and 18 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, and the new is here. And all this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. The old life is gone, and the new life is here, okay? That thing that you struggled with before you came to Christ, or that thing that constantly pulls you away from your relationship with Christ, that old fleshly man is what he's talking about right here. If you are in Christ, that old man is gone. Okay? It's gone. God's mightiness has overcome it. And the new life, the one where God gets the driver's seat, his mightiness has ushered that moment in where God can sit in your driver's seat. Praise you, God. Your addiction, it doesn't get the driver's seat. The anger that you struggle with doesn't get the driver's seat. Pornography doesn't get the driver's seat. Gluttony doesn't get the driver's seat. These are part of the old self, okay? They don't get to say anymore who you are. Jesus went into hell and took those claims back and said, nope, I'm giving them a new life. A new life. God has made the way to leave those things in the dust and step into the new. Now, the enemy would want us to think that if we were in bondage, that we're always going to be in bondage. It's just always going to be there, just something I'm going to have to deal with. But that's not what this says. God says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Okay? 2 Corinthians 3:17-18. Now, the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all who with unveiled faces, okay, unveiled faces, contemplate the Lord's glory and are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. We're being transformed. When those things pop up, that addiction, those struggles that you have, when those things pop up, nope, I'm transformed. I'm walking it out. I am saying it out. I'm transformed. The old is gone and the new is here. Don't let the enemy tell you that you are a victim to the same sins anymore. We have the victory because the mighty, proven warrior won that battle for you. Okay? His Spirit goes with us. Our faces are unveiled. The Spirit of the Lord is in us, and we walk in freedom. Praise you, Lord. Which leads us to our third place that his mightiness shows up. As soon as I get my PowerPoint together. Okay? His mightiness overcame our separation. His mightiness overcame our old self. And his mightiness teaches us how to walk out our victory, how to be victorious. He won the battle of our separation from God. He won our battle of our old self, and he goes before us. He went before us to teach us how to walk victorious. His examples that we see in the Word and his instruction that we see in the Word of how to be victorious are all through the Bible, okay? This book. You want to know how to be victorious? Read the Word of God. He did it, and he gave instruction on how you can do it too, okay? This is the best how to do it book that there is. In Ephesians, we find the armor of God. When you're talking about victory, you're talking about battle. Many of you know this passage well, and it says this: "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand." Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with a breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted in the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all of this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take up the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Now, I've read this before, and there's been a lot of times when in my life where I have felt like I needed to physically put this armor on, okay? So, helmet of salvation, okay? Because it thinks, what's it protecting? It's protecting my mind. The breastplate of righteousness, that righteousness is protecting my heart, okay? So, I know a couple years ago we did the Armor of God study, and it just really powerful. If you ever have a chance to do that study, it's a Priscilla Shirer study on the armor of God. Just really goes into depth in the armor. But I felt like just putting those on so that I can see what it is, you know, and I don't actually have armor at home. I actually just do it with my hands. So anyone can do this. You don't have to go buy armor. You can if you want to, but you don't have to. But this says that we're not here's the thing. This says we are not fighting against people. Turn to the person next to you and say, "I'm not fighting against you." Okay? You're not fighting against people. Some of you need to go pray about that. Revisit this. But this says we're not fighting against people. We're not fighting against flesh and blood. We're not fighting against the government. We're not fighting against officials. We're not fighting. There are things happening that are far beyond what the people issue is, okay? We're not fighting our annoying neighbors. We're fighting this. Our battle is against the spiritual forces of evil, and that can't scare us, okay? That can't scare you. Because here's the thing. I've read the Word of God, and many of you have too, and I know how it ends. God wins. In fact, he already won. Okay? He already won. The enemy is dead. He's just walking around in denial at this point. All right? He's just walking around in denial. We get to stand in this victory that our mighty God won for us. And that book tells us, how in so many ways. So put on that armor and do it physically. Like, do it every morning when you get up. If it helps to remind you what those things are that God is protecting, put on that belt of truth around your waist. Put on your breastplate of righteousness and your shoes of peace. Take up that shield of faith and cover your mind with the helmet of salvation. Some of you might hold your shield in your left hand, but I'm left-handed, so I hold it in my right hand, just so you know. You can hold it in whatever hand is better so that you can, you know, wield your sword better, okay? So take up that shield of faith, cover your mind with the helmet of salvation, take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Imagine for a moment with me what this life would be if we all were aware of the armor that we carry, okay? If we actually walked out the putting on of these things. Now, putting on has a couple different meanings. It literally means to dress in it. But it also means to cause, to act, or operate. So if you cause these items, these pieces of armor to operate in your life by putting them on, okay, the enemy couldn't touch you. Think about that. If we actually walked that out, it said that the shield of faith extinguishes all of the fiery arrows, okay? That's what it says. I'm going to go back here. Because in verse 13 it says, therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when, this is verse 13, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground after you have done everything to stand. When you've done everything, stand. And this is only one of the verses that God gives us that teaches us how to walk out that victory in our lives, okay? When you've done what you can do, then God says, okay, my turn, okay? Be obedient to do the things that God tells you to do. Put on that armor. Be aware of it. But then when it feels like I just have to do something else, like, I've done all the stuff, Lord, but nothing's happening. Then you stand, okay? You stand. Do what you need to do, and then stand. And whatever you're facing today, remember this from Deuteronomy chapter 20, verse 4. It says this, for the Lord your God is the one who goes with you to fight for you against your enemies, to give you victory, okay? He's with you, and he goes before you to fight your enemies, okay? And you get to have the victory. This is the gift. This is the gift. It's time. It's time. It's time for us to acknowledge the mightiness, the gibor of our God, okay? We can't sit any longer and be like, I just don't know what we're going to do. Because, like, it's not, maybe it's not for you to do. Maybe it's for you to stand in victory and say, nope, I'm taking on that victory that God gave me, taking it on, and I'm going to stand here in it. and I'm going to watch it happen. A few weeks ago, it's been a little bit now, we were talking about Psalm 23 when it says, he's preparing the table for me before my enemies, preparing a feast for me before my enemies, okay? He's already working. He's already like, that's done, and I'm preparing this feast for you, okay? It's time to be in awe of the mightiness of your God. Okay? We're stepping into the holiday season, and we should just be walking around marveling. Like, we should just be walking around marveling. You know, we think that, oh, well, you know, COVID and all this stuff. I'm like, we need to take care of the things we need to take care of. But this is a specified time at which we as believers acknowledge the birth of our Savior. And when you're acknowledging the birth of your Savior, you're acknowledging that he saved you. He saved you. Like, we should be walking around with our jaws hanging open. Like, this is amazing, okay? If your view of God doesn't cause you to stop and say, wow, then you need to go sit with him for a little bit longer. I'm serious. Like, if you have come to a place in your life, and maybe you've kind of lost the wow, you know, we kind of get busy in life and everything, just go sit with him. Lord, show me your awesome power. Show me your victory. Like, show me where that is in my life. He wants, like, okay, so if you gave a gift to somebody and you were so excited about it and everything, and the person, they were excited about it for like 5 minutes, you know? And then, you know, a couple weeks later, they've kind of forgot. You'd be like, hey, remember this thing I gave you? This is so cool. Come here, let's figure this out. Like, let's work on this together. Let's do this together. Let's look at it together. Let's talk about it, okay? God wants to do that with you. That might sound silly, but that's pretty simple. That's like, he wants to, like, Lord, show me what you've done in my life. Show me. And you sit with him, he's going to start showing you all kinds of stuff. He's going to start showing you all kinds of stuff. He's like, hey, look, remember when this happened? And then this happened? Yeah, that was me working. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You come back to this place where you're like, you know, God has done so much for me. God has done so much for me. He did stuff for me that is beyond compare before I was ever born. Before I was ever born. He did it all. And we should just be in awe. God has given us everything that we need for a victorious life. He fights your battles for you. And he is a warrior with a proven record. Okay? It's a proven record. And it all comes back to this place. This baby that was born to bring a new life to us. Okay? Let him unveil it for you as you go into December. You know, if you've gotten to a place in your life where you're like, yeah, I'm not really feeling it, just let him unveil it. I know who God is. I think I know that he would want to just do that. I'm like, yeah, let's go over it again. You got questions? That's okay. We'll work it out, but let's do it together. You know? Let's go talk about what I've done. Let's go talk about the victory that I give you. Just sit with him. Even if you just take 5 minutes. A long time ago, I listened to a speaker speak, and she was talking on prayer, and she says, I really feel like there's some people here that need to give, you know, 10 minutes to prayer a day. And so I took her up on that. I was like, yeah, that sounds pretty good. Let's give that a shot. But when you sit with the Lord for 10 minutes, okay, you take that time out and you give him that time. Pretty soon you're going to find out that your 10 minutes turns into 20 minutes. And when I did this the first time, my 10 minutes turned into 30 minutes, and then my 30 minutes turned into an hour. Pretty soon I was going to bed early so that I could just hear from him again. hear from him more, because before I went to bed, I was going to hear from God. And I journaled, and I, you know, worshiped, and I read the word. And now that was before I had children. So that's not always a reality for, like, time-wise. But if you give God 5 minutes, he will show up, okay? He will show up. When we take those things out for him, he will show up. Would you stand with me? Praise you, Lord God. I just want to pray. Praise you, Lord God. I just feel compelled to just ask you guys to just do that, to take time out for the Lord over this next month. I know some of you are working through the devotion book that we gave out last week, and that's part of it. It's just being intentional about spending time with God, being intentional about getting your focus back where it needs to be during this holiday season. But I would just say, if you would just commit to giving God 10 minutes of your day over this next month, throughout the Christmas season, in all the busyness, say, Lord, I'm busy, but I'll give you 10 minutes. Let's just sit for 10 minutes. Would you just raise your hand right now if you would be committed to do that, just to give him 10 minutes? Praise you, Lord God. Lord, we come before you right now, Lord God, and we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that we can get excited. We can get excited about you because you are mighty. You are our proven warrior, Lord God. Lord, we can count on you and we can count on victory through you, Lord God, because that's what you have done. Praise you, Lord God. Lord, I pray that as we are committing right now to spending that 10 minutes with you each day, Lord God, over the next 3 or 4 weeks, Lord, that you would show us, that you would show up for that appointment, Lord God, that we would be intentional about that appointment, and that you would show up in a mighty way. Lord God, I love that you meet us right where we are. Lord, you know what each one of us is struggling with. You know what each one of us is frustrated with. You know what all we're dealing with. And Lord God, you want to show us where you're at in that. And so, Lord, I pray that as we are consistent, Lord, and we are dedicated to give you that 10 minutes, Lord, that you, throughout this month, would just teach us. Lord, let us be eyes wide open, ears wide open, hearts wide open, Lord God. And, Lord, we would be intentional about focusing on your mightiness, Lord God. Thank you. Thank you for your mightiness. Thank you, Lord God, that you made a way for us, that you tore the veil, and that we can enter into your presence. Lord, we love you, and we just thank you for this day, this beautiful day you've given us. I pray that you would just go with each one today, Lord God. And Lord, I pray for all the people that are watching on Facebook Live, Lord, as they also have committed, Lord, that 10 minutes, Lord, that you would just meet each one, Lord God. And this would be the best Christmas season that we've ever had, because we are intentional about chasing after you, intentional about sitting in your presence, intentional about putting on that armor. Lord, make this a Christmas of intention, Lord God. And Lord, I pray that that light that comes in us, Lord, would shine out to the people around us, Lord, that we would be a blessing to the people that we are around, and that you would glorify yourself in us and through us, Lord, in this season. We thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.